If you early birds, that's a take two with Matt Ruskey. And we're going to speak about much more than just electro or magneto culture. We're going to speak about culture. And nowadays, culture, and back then, culture. And we're going to touch on various subjects that I'm sure, I bet, most of you, if not all of you, would really like us, and especially Matt, to touch upon. So stay with us. Coming back in a few seconds. Matt, how you doing, mate?
Happy to be here. Feeling good.
Yeah, it's good to have you again. Yes, you know, I've been following some of your videos lately since, like, we spoke, I don't know, a few weeks back. And I've been following some of your videos and, you know, most of the stuff that I know. And you probably heard of Lost History of Flat Earth. I mean, the series. Yes, obviously. Yes, of course. I mean, yeah, just to, you know, bring it up. And I would like today to speak about not just agriculture or magnetoculture or electroculture, but I would really love to speak about culture. And I will explain first what I mean. And then I think I will just let you, you know, go within your flow and within your zone. It seems like, and I'm being like cautious here, but I don't have to, but it seems like that we live in an artificial reality. And it seems like that a century ago, 2 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago, and who knows, there was a real reality from the word reality, you know, real reality. And it was connected and based on the laws, the real laws of physics and of creation, the true meaning of the laws of God, the creator. And it seems like that over the centuries, a force that we may give it names of families and bloodlines and whatever, but a force, some sort of a force, is using our naivety, our ignorance, our goodwill to take us from what is real into the unreal, to take us from what is good and beneficiary to us and gives us prosperity to what gives us, you know, lack of things and sadness and misery. And it seems like that actually what we need to do is fairly simple and easy. It takes some effort, obviously. It takes the willpower and it demands something from us. But then the change is quite easy and it's following the one step after the other. And maybe the best evidence is how widely spread the videos of magneto electroculture are in the last few months or couple of years around the world, with the work of yourself and Yannick, of course, and various others who are trying it out. Now, on the same breath, I can speak about Lost History of Flat Earth, the series, that maybe not everything there is correct, but, and he admitted, by the way, but still, the majority of it is based in evidences and proofs. We cannot deny them anymore. We cannot ignore them any longer. Now, my question, I mean, I just lay down like the frames without saying the work, but the frames to our discussion. So maybe the question is, what happened? What has happened and is still happening nowadays that we managed unwillingly, in a way, to shift from real world, real reality, to fake or artificial reality. Now, it's funny, and I don't worry, I let you speak as much as you want. It just feels right for me to put some words here and some sentences, because, you know, the way they try and change our genes nowadays seems like it happened in the past, and we know before the flood, they were messing up with genes and cross species, and seems like this is what's happening again. And I'm thinking, are we living in a circle, in a cycle that is keep repeating itself, like the samsara of the Buddhists and the Vedics, that they speak about the circle or the cycle of life, and we need to come out of it in order to not maybe reincarnate. Yes, but this is just another subject. I'm just saying things have happened before and they are happening again, and it's naturally occurring, but also artificially occurring. What has happened? What caused us to shift from real and truth to unreal and lies?
I mean, this can go into multiple different things, and I like that you brought up that documentary. That's a great documentary. It's 5 hours long. You know, it hits on so many different things, of different just ways of looking at things, right? Because that's what happens, is you see something different than the other side in which we've been told. But as for the history narrative and things in which we've seen, you know, a lot of things don't add up, you know, for the for example, the size of the buildings and all these things. But when we look at it, it seems like there were lots of resets, right? And these resets took place all the time, right? Whether it's a weather event, whether it's a mud flood, whether it's, you know, a ball of plasma on fire, or whether it's some crazy catastrophic storm, or, you know, maybe it's related to DEWs, you know, all these different types of things. And, you know, it just kind of every time there would be a reset. And as I got into this research and started learning more, you know, they would shift things again. The people who are in the power, or whichever it may be, they would shift things and reset the information too, and then teach the people the new way of doing something. And as each reset occurred, let's say, let's just make it really simple. Let's go with the 1800s and 1900s. But as each one occurred, let's say every 20 years, right, there was some big change, that shift that happened. Every 20 years, those people would then lose the information for the next generation and the next generation and those things. So I think, you know, when we really look into this, you know, there were so many of them. And what I've started to realize is that a lot of things are much closer in the timeline than what we were told. You know, for example, you go to Egypt and they're like, oh, this happened 10 million years ago. I don't think it was that long ago. I think a lot of this stuff was very recent. And because of that, you know, when we look at, like, for example, carbon dating, right? A lot of the carbon dating after about 4,000 years, I believe, is 99% incorrect.
Inaccurate, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, how do we even know what's past 4,000 years? And then also, too, how do we know that that's true, too, right? Because the science is made to tell us what it wants to tell us. So, you know, with all of that being present, it's like, well, then how recent and when did these things occur? When did these shifts occur? Was there planetary stuff that occurred? Was there water changing? You know, was there, I don't know, something that happened in the sky? You know, did things flip? You know, was this like polarity shift or something that occurred where a flip happened? You know, because what's really weird when you get into the history thing is all of these buildings were still around, right? Like these old sacred buildings were around, but there weren't a lot of people. So then it kind of, you know, when you look at this narrative of you have these massive structures and then you have dirt sidewalks and you only have X amount of people, let's say, you know, 1,000 people or 100,000 people, whatever, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, because then who built all those buildings?
And what for? What if you have only that much people? Why you need all these huge buildings, like with artifacts and specific architecture? Yes, yes. Go
and
on.
That's where we see this shift in the timeline. And I think with these resets, that's kind of what happened was you had this very advanced society that was unified across the world that was building all over the world, right? Because you see the same architecture everywhere, every single country, every continent, everything, even Antarctica as well, too. Yeah. You know, so if they weren't unified, they wouldn't be building the same things and they wouldn't know how to build as one, right? They would, they were doing that. And then you have this other shift where you have these other people, you know, who kind of look really confused. That's kind of what I started realizing, kind of look really confused and out of place. And they're building with like some wood and sticks, you know, and they're trying to make like a little house and whatever. And it's like, but you're living in these beautiful grand buildings and all this architecture. So it's almost like these people were brought in, you know, and they were shifted into this place, almost like transported into that area. And then they had to start living in these areas after these resets occurred. And then almost as if they didn't go along with the plan, they would then reset that city and get rid of that architecture and all that, and then do it again. And it's interesting because even when you look at the layers of the earth, we're up here on this part, but there's layers and layers and layers below. And they've shown this with these resets where every time there was, for example, a reset, they would build on the next layer and they would start building up and up and up. But there's still buildings below, you know, and this is with a lot of the sacred buildings. They have layers below, but they put the steps going higher up so that you see the first floor, but you don't realize there's multiple floors below. And a perfect example is, if we're going to go into it, the Egyptian pyramids, right? Yeah. There's 7 to 20 layers below the pyramids that are not allowed to be publicly exposed. So the question is how deep, you know, does that go? And a perfect example related to that is Samir with the Bosnian pyramids. He's showing all the stuff that's below us and how healing it is below us too. So we're almost like living on this surface where all this stuff was kind of taking place and these different types of resets occurred. And then we're building back better, right? As we technology that doesn't even match, or architecture that doesn't even match the stuff that we're next to, you know? And it's just, the more you get into it, it's just very wild.
You know, also in the series, The Lost History of Flat Earth, so it's not there. It's the sequel of the sequel. It speaks only about the architecture and the techniques of manufacturing bricks and the layers of they put with plaster on top to cover up the real architecture. Yep. And it's quite funny because he showed some places where you can actually see behind the plaster layer where they use plaster and cement, this the Rockefeller cement came in, etc. So they kind of mass producing fast layers to cover up the true architecture that was used to be in Europe and elsewhere, not just Europe obviously, but various continents. And you can see in certain places, you can see how it's been covered, and you can see what's underneath. And then again, you scratch your head and you think, what has happened here? Why they're doing it? What's going on? And only when you connect the dots between various subjects that seems like not connected at all, only then you can give a much fuller explanation to what is going on. And for this, you know, it seems like you probably seen the interview with Tucker Carlson with Professor Matthias that spoke about the 5%. And if I just speak about this 5%, yes, he spoke about the corona and all this bullshit pandemic. But if I take now this awaken 5%, that maybe we are 15 or 22, I don't know how many are we, but we take this, we kind of woken up to many other layers, hidden layers of reality, that some of them are cultures and architectures and technologies. I mean, hey, the camera was invented in 1820. Okay, it's got better over the 1840 and 50. But what you showed in one of the videos, and we know these pictures, I'm just referring to one of your videos, is again these buildings and the empty streets and with mud, and you were referring to, so how they were driving, how they were walking, because you see men with horses and carriage and this huge building that it doesn't connect. So who was building it and how they traveled if it's all mud and there's no roads, and why the sidewalks are so wide, and how come there were cars 100, 120, 30 years ago, and how come and how come and all these questions coming up. Now, people may hear us and see us and think, okay, come on, this is just internet bullshit. And we're like, no, these are from books. These are from pictures from books printed in the last century or the century before when the print was invented and then the camera was invented. So you put together the printing and cameras and you have evidences, which means you have proofs. Now you can actually go to these buildings and see stuff and then you have evidences and proofs and then you connect the dots and you think, okay, there's a much bigger, larger, deeper lie going on here, which again brings me back to what you were saying about these resets, maybe every 100 years, like a large reset, maybe a larger cycle with an even greater reset, like the great reset. But every 20 years, I agree, they kind of shift the information, and it's all about information. It's all about our mind and consciousness, how to manipulate us to believe something, and then it becomes real. The unreal become real. The artificial become real for us. Like a boy or a girl who are born today, they don't even know how food is grown because they get it in a plastic bag or in a tin or some other type. They don't know a time with no phone. They don't know that there were inventions, and this is another thing also in the video we refer to it, but also it was referred in the Lost History of Flat Earth and various other makers, video makers, etc., that whenever there was technology that is coming from the creator, from the real laws of physics, it was kind of taken over and a new technology, the artificial ones, was brought forward to the people. Can you refer to this as well? Because I find it really fascinating how they play with technologies to hide more information, more data, and to kind of minimize our brain and our capacity. But obviously, we do not agree to that.
No, and we don't. And the thing is, you know, there was a book I was reading from 1902, and it's a perfect example of this. And I showed it at my live the other day. And, you know, when you look into the past, you see different things. You know, and it's really important to look at these older books because it was before, you know, they could edit all the things and remove things out like Google mm-hmm. does, right? Google always reworks things and says, you know, it's not true and whatever. Mm-hmm. But also, too, we had the Rockefeller takeover of the educational system in the 1900s as well. So they would teach what they want people to learn about, right? So if the history was different, they would rewrite it so that they would fit the narrative that they want. And like you said, then the children are then disconnected because they go for about 18 to 24 years of this educational system, which is just teaching them pretty much everything the inverted way, right? And this relates to history, too, because, for example, when I was a kid, they taught us that the pyramids were built with people with ropes and there were people carrying them. Well, you know, let's pick a perfect example from this book from 1902. Okay, there's a bell in Russia that weighs over 400,000 pounds. That's equivalent to about 200 elephants, right? The bell is so large that it sits on a podium and they can't move it, right? It cannot physically move. It just sits on that podium and it's actually partially broken. The other interesting fact of that bell is that that bell is 100%, they say, pure silver and pure gold.
Wow.
So 400,000 pounds as a bell. Now, people could say, well, they were, you know, advanced and they were building bigger at that time or using more material. But think of how much gold that is, right? We can barely find, when we go mining, you usually find about a speck of gold, right? And a lot of the gold that people do find is from when they were destroying these buildings that were made out of gold. And that's where the whole gold rush came from. When people were going, oh, I'm going west because I'm collecting gold. You're going west because they were destroying those buildings which were made out of gold and people were finding gold all over the place. After those buildings were destroyed and people collected all that gold, they pretty much stopped finding gold, right? And that's why like all the gold sits in one place right now for the most part. And nobody's really finding big blocks of gold anymore or anything related to that because a lot of those buildings which were connected were destroyed and that. But with this bell, it's a perfect example of something that is so insanely large, right? Like to just think 200 elephants, right? And if people are supposed, as they say, you know, on horse and buggy with their wagons running down the streets that, you know, are made out of basically mud, you know, all these things, it doesn't add up. And in comparison, there's two other bells in the world that are a little bit smaller. One is in Montreal in Canada, and it's in their cathedral, and that one's about 26,000 pounds. So that's pretty small compared to this Russian bell, which is 400,000. Yeah. And then you have the Liberty Bell, which they teach us in school about in Philadelphia, right, in 1776, that the Liberty Bell was created. And the Liberty Bell is only 1,500 pounds. But this bell in Russia, which was made in 1733, as they told us, was 400,000 pounds. You know, so things that don't add up in the whole narrative. And as you said about technology, there was another interesting part in this book where they talked about wireless communication. And this was, I thought, a really good one. You had Marconi over here creating the radio.
And the radio.
Yep. He died of using the radio. He suffered from multiple heart attacks and it actually killed him. And they never talk about that because they couldn't sell the radio if they told people that that was leading to those issues. And that's the radio frequencies. And then you had Stubblefield over here on the other side. And Stubblefield decided, I'm going to use the Earth's energy to communicate. And what they were doing was he was taking rods and sticking them into the Earth with a wire, and he would hook it up to a little headset just like this, and he could communicate with people up to 2,000 miles away when they stuck around the Earth as well. And this is the same technology that the U.S. Navy uses. When they send out their frequency, it goes on the Schumann resonance of the Earth, and they can communicate all across the world. So, you know, the technology, you get flipped, right? You see one on this side and this one sells and makes money and makes people sick, right? So they keep pushing this one while they hide this guy over here, Stubblefield, who said, we don't need to use any of that. He's like, we could just do all of this. And all of his work was pretty much lost. And I say that because the books in which I found, you know, there's only a couple copies of certain ones, depending on like the author and all these things. And if the information is lost in the book, all of their work and everything is pretty much gone. Because when you start to look up a lot of these people on the internet and things, there's not much on them. You know, most of the people with the very advanced technology from the 1800s and 1900s, they are slowly removed off the internet. While the people who they are pretty much wanting to prop up and have us always talk about and always promote, like Thomas Edison created the light bulb, you know, whatever else. Those people are propped up and they put them on a pedestal so that they promote them more so we can forcefully learn about them. Just like, and this is a great example, Christopher Columbus, right? Christopher Columbus was the first person to come over here. Meanwhile, there's a map from the 1400s on the localcongress.gov. So this is a public website. You can look all this up. They show all these star fort castles and fortresses in America before he even gets here. So now the question is if they came over on this big wooden boat, right, and they sailed across the ocean, which would be pretty dangerous when you think about it, right? One big storm, and that could be the end of you, but you came over and there's already these massive fortresses that are in star formations and have sound resonance and frequencies coming out of them and canals and all these different things with water, and they even cut the earth, you know, so it's like, why was he coming over on a wood boat? It means that maybe, you know, I kind of see it as the people in America were actually very advanced, right? If we're going with the narrative in which we were told that they could build in a perfect star, you know, and to use materials, the one star fort alone, I think they said it has 150 million bricks. Well, let's go with the population of the 1400s. There were maybe, I don't know, a couple thousand people at that time, right? Because it wasn't inhabited and there weren't a lot of people there. But they're building with 100 million bricks. Where did they get the bricks from? How did they get them over there? You know, were they, who was carrying them? Were they using animals? You know, and all of these questions we have to ask, because when we see people riding down a big street with a horse and wagon with infrastructure that's stories tall, you can see something doesn't add up. And those people look very disconnected. And one of the, another example in that book I was seeing was people with umbrellas and all covered. Almost like they don't know that the sun is good for them. Kind of like they're out of place, you know, and that's kind of how I see it. Because when you see people go out into nature, they're usually, you know, like kids especially, they go out and they get in the water and they're running around, but nobody's really in the nature. So it kind of is like they're kind of, it's just an interesting thing because I notice it's kind of like they're very out of place. So we have to ask questions on why is everybody so out of place and why are these big structures there and who's building all of this and sculpting, right? It's not even building, I've realized. They are sculpting buildings. It's like a 3D printer that just printed this perfect, you know, beautiful, you know, sacred building, temple, whatever it may be. It's perfectly built. It's so detailed and so symmetrical that there's no human error, right? Because a human is going to sit there with this hammer and go like this. And, you know, they might mess up and be like, uh-oh, you know, it's stone. I can't just put the stone back and fix it.
Yeah.
You know, so when we look at that, it's like, well, then how did they build it so far? And then were they upside down, right? Like, that's another thing. Were they upside down hanging from a rope attached to a ladder, you know, trying to do it? And, you know, the story always goes, there were so many people, but people make mistakes, right? These buildings have no mistakes. And what's interesting, too, is the acoustics and the sounds that come from them are off the charts, right? And a lot of them relate to the free energy and all of the energy that they were gathering at that time. So, there's so many different things in which this topic can go into.
And just to add, like the fortresses, in order to build them in such a symmetrical geometry, you have to have a bird's view. I mean, you cannot look at it from the earth. So you have to go up somewhere, and most of them actually on plateaus. So you have no mountain to go up to, in a way. Another thing is that the large stones that they used, also in Baalbek, like you have in Lebanon, you have this large stone, which is the largest actually, and there's no stone in that type of soil or composition in that area, similar to what we see also in Egypt, in a way, not all of them. And also just to add that physically, I went to India. I lived in India many years. So I saw some of the places that were carved out of this enormous stone or mountain. And it's almost unbelievable. But when you see it and you think, this is like, you know, 20 years ago, you think, wow, this is amazing how they made it. But now, rethinking about it, no, they could not have made it. I mean, something else was involved, some sort of technology. Another thing is that the symmetrical figures, like men make mistakes, right? But machine, doesn't matter which one now, but machine mostly does not make mistakes. When it make, let's say, 10 figures of small people in a stone or 100 figures in a circle, they are all equally. They are the same, exactly the same. And it doesn't make sense. I'm talking about the eyes, the eyebrows, the ears. Everything is the same and really high details. And now seeing these things, knowing how much lies we've been fed to, we are obliged to look at other fields like architecture, not just medicine or, you know, the health office or viruses. It's much more than that. It's much more. And we owe ourselves this quest, this search. We owe it to our children. We owe it to previous generations who some of them have lived in truth, but then things have shifted and they shift to, you know, our parents, grandparents. They were not aware probably to all these things we speak of. And it's really important, specifically now, and it's something I thought when I heard your video. I don't know how it was back then, but again, it seems like we live in a time when communication is immense. I mean, we can speak and share information and books and pictures and videos and information and knowledge, etc. And I'm not sure how it was back then, but we have to take advantage of these possibilities that we have now to share this information and to spread it as wide as we can, because this is our, well, one of our strengths is exactly there. Like you said in the video, it seems like things are shifting towards magneto-electroculture. And I agree, people even here in Israel, they're really up for it. You know, they take copper and they, you know, they do a lot of things. Today I bought like a 45 meters of air-conditioned pipe made out of copper. I want to put it in my olive grove. You know, I want to put antennas, stick it to the olive, stick it in the ground. So things are really happening and people really up for it. They need to open more their minds and to share this information the same they do with you know, with twirling, with I don't know, copper, spiraling copper. More people should share more of this information and knowledge to their families. Okay, never mind viruses, never mind now digital currencies. Let's deal with the real, with the truth, not with the unreal, not with the artificial, because that's where they want us. That's where they take us. Even you take gold and silver, and then you have, you know, this note is redeemed by gold, and then this note is legally tender. And now, very soon, you have no notes. You have just, I mean, we have already on computers, but soon it's to be digital altogether, and all this bullshit, you know, the Gesundheit passport and all this, I don't know, weird stuff that coming out of Switzerland and wherever. So I'm just thinking, for me, people need to share more. That's why I'm so excited to bring you again, because of this putting back or putting together the bits and pieces, like on Lost History on Flat Earth. He done really a great job there. Although not everything is accurate, and it's cool, man. I don't want it to be 100% accurate, because you are a man and you make mistakes, unlike machines maybe who build this or some other technologies. And it's okay to make mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, you don't do. You know, when you start to do and when you start to speak and when you start to share, it's okay to make mistakes. And like, you know, Mark Passio, he, back then, I don't know, 10 years ago, he said, there's two types of... if I can say that, if I'm correct, there's two types of ways. One is to learn everything and only then to start speaking and teaching. But the other way is when you learn something, you immediately you start to teach it because you want to share it. And it's okay if you make mistakes along the way. You learn by teaching. And I think that's what we need to do more, to teach and to learn by teaching. We make mistakes and it's okay. What about, I mean, if I look at the ether and soil and water, and if I think, let's say there's a dome above us, there's no space, you know, all this weird, I'm saying weird, it's not really weird, because it's shifting your focus, it's shifting your awareness. Who are we then? I mean, in your view, who are we? If we live in a dome, on and in a maybe in a still place, on a still plane, and there's no space, or maybe there is, maybe there's water out there, who knows, but who are we then, in your view?
I mean, that one can go into a lot of things. I mean, I kind of look at the Earth as one big magnet, you know, like one big magnet that we're sitting on because of the polarity that you have, where the shifting of the north and the south based on magnets when you're spinning them and how they'll start to rotate. But yeah, as we go up into the air, it's interesting because it gets really, really cold. Right. And this is something I think of, you know, all the time. Like when I was flying, you know, that at 35,000 feet, they told me it was negative 65 degrees while we were up there. You know, so now if I go another, let's say we go higher up, right? Let's say we get to 60,000 or 70,000 feet, right? And we keep going up. Is there just pure ice above us? Right? Is there some sort of melting that takes place, which transitions into clouds, which transition into water, you know, which then falls down? You know, and if it's that cold, how do you go up there, right? Like if it's that cold, wouldn't, I mean, and most of our things can only withstand so much, especially with temperature wise. Think of people who go deep into the ocean, right? They couldn't go deep into the ocean for a very long time because the pressure would actually collapse and completely crush whatever it was that was sending down into the ocean. That's why they didn't send a lot of people down there, because they were concerned that they were, you know, never coming back. But that was the same thing that also happened in Russia. Russia stopped sending people up in the air because they weren't coming back either. You know, they were gone, and, you know, and they realized that. So, you know, with our narratives in which we've been told where we're traveling and maybe going to these different places and things like that, if we just think about that simple perspective of, let's just say, ice above us or whatever it may be, well, then things don't really add up. Right? Because how would we be traveling to go elsewhere? Now, the question is what are we seeing as the reflection, right? What was really cool in that documentary is he showed that if you look at planets or stars or things like that under a type of telescope that's a different type, it'll actually display almost like a cymatic shape instead of the planet in which we've been shown. So That I thought was really cool because everything is cymatics, everything is frequency, everything is vibration. And it's really interesting to think of it in a different perspective instead of something that's a complete, you know, circle that has a shape and whatever it may be, you know. And then when we get into things like the moon, you know, there's other videos I've seen which are really interesting related to the moon, where the moon is like see-through during the day, right? When you see the moon that's out with the sun, it's almost completely clear. You can see, almost like see through it, right? So if the moon is a tangible object in which we've been told, why does it have like a see-through ability, you know, and things that don't make a lot of sense. And the reason I, you know, I'm hitting on all these different things is just a lot of stuff just doesn't add up to what we've been told. And it's good to just look at it from a different perspective. And same thing when we're traveling, you know, if you look at, for example, the way flights are going and flight patterns, a lot of things don't add up to the way that they fly, right? Because wouldn't you just fly this way or this and whatever else? A lot of the flight patterns don't add up too, you know, and then there's a lot of spaces on the earth in which we might not even be told about, right? There might be different continents or different areas of the earth in which we haven't even explored or been told about. And that goes into that, the Disney World map. If you look at the guy Disney with his whole story and everything else, he's got this big map, and it almost kind of relates to like that's the larger version of our realm in which we're living in. And then we're just kind of on a portion, and then maybe people are traveling within that realm or different areas. You know, and I put this all out there. You know, when I first was learning about it, you know, a lot of it was, wait, what? You know, it's very a lot to take in. You know, but at the same time, it's really good to keep a very open mind. And I say that because we have been lied to on so many different topics. So if they lied to us on all those other topics, then why would this one be true, right? Why would the history or the thing that we've been shown, or even related back to, even going back into like, and a perfect example of that is 1909, I think, when the rollout of the radio came out. They put the broadcast of War of the Worlds on by H.G. Wells, and they scared the people to see what it would turn into as a psychological experiment to see what would result. They wanted to see what would happen. A lot of people actually took their life when they heard all that because they actually thought aliens were coming and being invaded. So if we've gone through all these tests and experiments and games, right, then how do we know that any of the other stuff in which we are told is true? And that's why I just look at things so with all just how from every angle, because a lot of things don't add up to what we've been told, you know. And then when we take it another step further, we can even look at mountains and different things that look and resemble faces and different types of buildings and different types of designs and all these things, things that it's like those look like a bunch of heads, you know. So were things cooked into the earth? Right, yes. Were these buildings, like you were saying, in India that are pure stone, were they cooked and turned into complete stone? You know, these are questions in which we have to ask too, right? Because maybe they were originally a different material, and then it got real hot, and then they turned into stone, and now they're just solidified into the earth or solidified into the mountain. You know, so many different types of events in which we can look at that we just have to ask questions. You know, that's the easiest way to describe it.
I want to go back to this bird's view and connect it to what you just said and to circuitry, because we can find also a bunch of pictures out there. I can show them. I mean, if you could do it, because it seems like you do really good work on your videos. So, you know, the pictures that you see melted circuit boards and melted computer boards, motherboards, etc. Oh, you know what? Before they were melted, let's say, you see cities, how they're built, and you see motherboards of computer, how they're built. Similar. A lot of them are similar. And now you can see melted motherboards from heat, right? And then you can find the same on Earth, melted areas. I wouldn't say cities. I'm not sure about that, but places that people probably used to live in, all right, they look the same as the melted motherboards. And it seems like, if I go up from the earth, it seems like whoever was building these structures and these cities and these mega buildings with perfect geometry, I mean, this is stuff we cannot do today, let's face it. And they tell us We are the most advanced civilization. Yeah, yeah, right. Anyway, so when you take this view on the earth, as much as we can see, I mean, the part that we at least we can see, it seems like, again, that it was all connected. There was one type of civilization, really advanced in terms of working with technology that is not harming them. But it seems like something has happened somewhere along the line, along history, that even the places that they used to live in, they were melted as well. I don't know, because of fire or because of volcanoes or because of whatever, but something has happened. Maybe it was like a capacitor that is overheated, yep, and it got burned out. And what do you know about that? Can you just relate to that a bit?
So with that topic, it's interesting because when I looked at the books of Atlantis and the Atlantean times and everything that they described, they said that the culture of Atlantis fell into the Atlantic Ocean and everything pretty much went under. But basically, the technology is exactly what you just said, where the technology pretty much, you know, did them under, and the crystals in which they were using pretty much overcharged and then pretty much just popped. And as they popped, they cooked everything within the vicinity, and then they fell directly into the ocean. You know, so the question is, yeah, maybe what happened, or the, I guess the way to look at it is, you know, maybe what happened was there was an overcharge of energy, or like a little sphere, or like those little orbs, you know, that we see, and that orb went up and it kind of popped and kind of changed everything, you know, overnight, and could have cooked multiple things. The other thing too, which was interesting, is there's something called a Fresnel lens, and people can look into that. It's basically a little lens in which can heat things up. And this guy showed how he took Fresnel lenses and placed them over boulders, like big, huge boulders, and he melted them to nothing. You know, so then the question is, was there some sort of, you know, maybe like a something over the top of us that almost like cooked, like almost kind of like what they're trying to maybe do today with our skies? You know, it kind of went horribly wrong, and then it cooked everything instead of cooling that they tell us they're trying to do, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, you know, just things like that. And it's just, yeah, it could be multiple different ways. But, you know, when I really start to look at it, you know, it's happened in so many different places, and they had different types of events in different types of places. And I believe Archaix, with his work too on YouTube, he talked a lot about this, where there were these Phoenix events, which would take place in different spots, yeah, and nobody would know that they were going on. So this whole one area was pretty much cooked out, we'll say. But then the people living next door were like, oh, where's our neighbors? You know, they don't even know that they're not here with us or anything, any of that at the same time. So that's why I say I feel like there's so many timelines of things happening at the same time, but all simultaneously occurring. And, you know, it's hard to always tell, because a lot of the things in which we look into the past as well, a lot of the things have been written a certain way to kind of shift our minds to a certain direction, to make us believe that dinosaurs were, you know, the cause of it and everything else, and asteroids and all these things, you know, and things that don't really kind of make sense to what we've been told.
They do have like good imaginations, these guys. I mean, because they keep coming up and inventing stories, and we're like, wow, this is amazing stories. But actually, the real reality is the most amazing story, yes, ever. I mean, Wow. I mean, to think where we live in, and just think we live in a fifth of Earth, or a quarter, or a sixth, or an eighth. You know, it's like, wow, what else is out there that we can imagine, but we never seen? And I hope maybe one day we will see. Now, you mentioned crystals. I want to show something to the audience. I'll read it. I take my glasses. I'm in that age. A crystal oscillator and real-time clock module. All right. Now, these bits here, this is from a friend in Israel. He worked in this factory. You see every little chip here, okay, is a crystal oscillator. And so in each and every chip here, there's a really tiny bit of quartz crystal. And this is basically responsible on the clocking, okay? Now, this technology is like from the last few decades. But again, this is relying on ancient technology, because crystals, you know, people work with crystals in New Age. They work with crystals for healing. They work with crystals for sound. I play crystal balls, so I work with that as well. But most people don't know that all the gadgets, like mobile phones, from the transistor, from the hand watch, from everything, the first radio up till computers and smartphones, etc., they use crystal, they use quartz crystals. Now, without even going into the characteristics of quartz crystals and the, you know, piezoelectrics, etc., that you mentioned, I think, last time we spoke, I'm just showing this to show that the technology we use today was back then and was probably much more advanced. So we use maybe 1%, maybe 10%, if I want to kind of give them a compliment, but let's say 1% of what was back then. It seems like they don't know even how to use it properly, you know? And the answer, I'm coming back to us. I think it seems like, again, the answer is within us, because it's up to us to find the answers. It's up to us to find this bits of information, knowledge, like Lost History on Flat Earth, Archaics, yourself, and various others, Yannick, and various others, wherever, on whatever continent you live, in whichever language you speak, you have on your own soil, in your own land, in your own nature, go out from the cities to look at it. You won't find it in the buildings. You find it outside, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the springs, in the trees. You find there the secrets that are being kept from us. And yes, of course, some areas are closed to us, like Antarctica is the most obvious one. But some places are, I don't even know if we can get there. Maybe one day, I hope so, one day. Maybe we'll meet on another Earth somewhere, which is still on this plane. And I'm just thinking, what other technologies, you know, that have been used, or they've been using in the ancient past, but also nowadays, that either they use or either they try to hide from us?
So this one can go into multiple different things. Like, for example, Edgar Cayce, right? Edgar Cayce talked about how you can use lapis, right? The lapis stone, and you can actually communicate with lapis. One of the largest lapis stones are in New York. They actually moved it from Bisbee, Arizona to New York City. It's in a museum. It's the largest piece of lapis in the world. It's gigantic. It's bigger than my whole house. But this stone, it's interesting, when you go in there, it will begin to speak. So they turn the air conditioning on to keep it cold, because if it gets too hot, it'll start to make a sound and start to hum. And wow. Edgar Cayce said in his readings and all of his work, and if people want to get into his work, you'll learn so much. He was the sleeping prophet. He predicted so many things. He basically would go into a sleep state and then tell people whatever they wanted to know. But he said you can communicate with that stone. And he would communicate all the time. And a lot of times they would go down into Bisbee, Arizona, down in the caves, because there was a lot of azurite, a lot of malachite, a lot of lapis. These stones hold a lot of power and a lot of information and a lot of things that connect into our mind, right? Like you were saying, like we go out into nature and we connect with the ether and we start to download information. Same with stones, depending on the stone in which you're holding. That was part of how they connected into different parts and different realms and different various things of information. But as we get into technology, you know, when we look at these ancient things, there's a lot of stuff to do with mercury. There's a lot of stuff to do with radium, right? They were using different types of materials, which are just, you know, something that we don't talk about, right? Everybody tells you stay away from mercury. Now, what was interesting is I made a video where I spun mercury in a circle of an electrical meter that measures the voltage. And the faster I spun it, the faster that voltmeter went up and up and up and up and up. And it got to a point in which it peaked, I think, at a couple thousand on the meter. And it just kept going up and up and up. And so when you look at some of these old world buildings, they used to have these brass balls, which I believe had iron on the inside. So they were iron on the inside with brass coatings on the outside. And then they had mercury inside of them, and they had these antennas that used to stick off of them. And you still see these on all the temples, the mosques, the churches, you know, all the sacred buildings. They still have that little brass ball right up there. But a lot of times they'll paint over it and then take it down. And
just to add, cathedrals, I mean, it's coming out of cathode. I mean, the word cathode and cathedral, this is electricity. Yeah. And anyway, everything is based on electricity, bank, river, stream, current, etc. I mean, it's all based on electricity, then water, then money.
Yes.
This is more or less the structure. I wanted to add, we have crystals in our brain. I mean, we know about the ears that we have crystals, but in the pineal gland, we have crystals. And there was, I published it on, I think, 2009 or 2010. I published a research was done in the University of Ben-Gurion. I still have it on my website. University of Ben-Gurion, I think it was done on 2006 or 5 or something like that, showing that we all have in the pineal gland very micro or very small size crystals. And they were trying to understand what these crystals are all about. I mean, what's the use of these crystals in the brain? We don't know everything about crystals yet. Hopefully one day we will come that we, one day will come that we will know about it. But it seems like, again, I keep saying it seems like, because I don't want to, you know, stick it as a fact, but still, telepathy, I think it's got to do a lot with the crystals in our brain. This is my assumption, all right?
I could totally see that, because the connection that you have between people when you meet people, you actually sync up to them. And then when they're gone, you feel like that syncing is now gone, right? You can feel that syncing of the connection between the mind and between the other person. And that's why we'll feel sometimes when we meet somebody, it's like, oh, I already knew that person. That's because you've already synced up before in the past. And then that pineal gland is connected. The other part of that pineal gland too is your GPS, right? All of us have crystals in the center of our forehead for the GPS and navigation. It's kind of like determining when it's about to rain, right? Someone's going to go, oh, it's about to rain. It's going to rain about 30 minutes. Same thing. Those crystals, they get squeezed, the pressure changes, and then all of a sudden they are determined to say that it's about to rain. Or they might get achy and pains because their bones are being squeezed because there's crystals in your bones that also determine that the storm is coming as well. So there's so much with the crystal factor and the squeezing factor and the compression factor. And even with birds, right, when they're getting hit with all these frequencies, they get confused because the crystals on their forehead, same exact thing, they don't know where to go. Their GPS is all completely, you know, disconnected. And that's why we see so much in the cars now, GPS, 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 because people, when they're getting bombarded with these frequencies and the Wi-Fi and all of that, what's the first thing it's going for? The frontal cortex in that area, so that people can be more reliant on, like you said, the artificial technology instead of relying on their natural instinct or the crystals in their mind.
And they even tell us artificial intelligence.
Yes.
I mean, it's all out here. I mean, we just have to connect the dots. We don't see, it's like shifting our focus into what is real from what isn't, you know? And I want to go back to the crystals because, you know, before I asked you, who are we? I mean, in your view, the way you see things, obviously you went, like many of us, into a crash course of what is life, you know, in the last 3 years or whatever. And I'm thinking, I know this is a water planet, and I know we are water based, and all plants and all animals and us men, women, we are water based, and the sky and the clouds and the rain, everything has mostly water. Even the air on a dry day has water. And given water, crystals, ether, magnetism, I want to ask you again, who are we?
I mean, I would kind of see it as that we are just these, like you said, water beings that are roaming around on something that is like a plane, if you want to say it too, as a plane of water, right? I mean, there's studies which have shown that scientists have said that there's oceans underneath the ocean, right? So how does that make any sense? And especially when they tell us we're running out of water all the time. We're on a water planet and there's water below the ocean. How can we be running out of water? You know, things that don't make a lot of sense. And then, you know, in relation to that, I feel like, you know, we are part of that very advanced society in which used to also be around, but we've forgotten. We've forgotten our true talents and our true tech, like our true abilities, right? They've been dimmed down. that's basically what it has. And I feel like, you know, part of our, all of our lineage is connected to this. It's just, if we went through kind of like a, you know, a memory loss situation, then we would be like, oh, where are we? But we're part of all of this, you know? And I, and then the whole thing that I started seeing is the whole reason a lot of this is not taught, like all of the things in which we just talked about and everything else, is because it can cause people to be uprising, right? It can cause people to realize that they've been lied to on many different things, right? It's much easier to divide us and say, well, I came from here and I came from here and blah, blah, blah. But what happens if we all came from the same place? Right now, we're a, once again, a unified advanced society. So I kind of, you know, see it in a very different light now. And I feel like because of the internet, it's all connecting us to understand more about everything in which we're talking about today, and having that ability to connect and really see that we are much more capable of doing things than we really think. For example, nice, simple, easy example is if you can go outside, you can draw into the earth and you can basically alter the weather, right? Just by your thought process alone, because you're altering the ether, everything that's flowing. Right. So it can make it hot. It can make it cold. It can make it windy. You can make it what, all these different things. Now, when you group people together and they become unified, they become even stronger. Kind of like the Avatar. Right. That movie was kind of showing these huge trees and all this, this very advanced society. And then you have these weird people who are trying to ruin it all, per the usual, and trying to get rid of that. And I feel like that's what we are a part of, that when you really start to look at it. And even us just connecting through the, you know, this platform and all of the other things too, we're very in sync with one another, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't just meet for fun and decide, let's just do some interviews. No, we're all on the same wavelength. And I think that wavelength personally is increasing each day. That's why they're trying to come out with, like you said, all this digital nonsense, and you won't, you know, you won't have anything, but you'll have things and then you'll be happy, and it's goofy stuff. They just make up funny narratives, you know, and funny slogans to try to sell it. But in reality, the conscious minds of all of us and the crystals and the water and all of that, I feel is awakening on so many levels. And that's what's going to change things very quickly, very fast, and then cause a revolution, right? That's kind of what I see is occurring as we speak. And that's happened with the electric culture and the magnet culture and all the stuff that's happening now too. Is it's just growing. And it's because people are over a lot of the stuff, and our systems are, have been so broken for such a long period of time, you know, that people want the truth. And I don't think 23andMe and all the Ancestry.com and all of that is actually telling us the truth, because those two are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, right? The same so people who also own everything else in the world and also manipulate all of everything in which we are told. So, you know, my narrative or my, you know, sight on this is that we are much more than what we have been told. And we really have to realize that. We have to boost our self-confidence and uprise one another and bring positivity and change and all these things and show different examples. And that's why even that was why I started making videos, because I decided this stuff needs to get out here and we need to talk about these things, because we are much more connected than we realize. And if you take, for example, water, and you place it next to another piece of water that, for example, looks like a snowflake, that water will take on the snowflake image as soon as it's next to it, right? So all of us sync up much more, but they're trying to divide that so that, that we cannot see our true potential.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I'm saying it's funny that, about water, that there's a lady in, I think, in New Zealand, and she walks with water. She, you know who I mean?
Yeah, Veda Austin.
All right. So she's doing amazing work, because she's like kind of taking Masaru Emoto work and bringing it nowadays, you know, that actually water takes everything in. They show you everything. And it's amazing work. I showed it in one of my live videos, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And I would like to host her as well and to show some pics and let her speak about it. And I'm saying this because, and you touched upon, we are on the same wavelength, all right? And this is worldwide, and I totally agree with you. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are, what language you speak, we are on the same wavelength here. And this is something that I don't think happened in the past, at least in the past that I know of, obviously. So because it seems like it was back then, but I was not then. So I don't know what was then. I just see now that there's so many people waking up, and I'm kind of dividing it now, although it's still one, because many people are waking up to the evil of the world, you know, to the bad doers and the bad deeds of the world. And they are like, and I know it. I kind of, when I woke up in 2008, it was mostly to that stuff. All right. I mean, the pedophile families, the royalties, etc. But then you have to wake up. I mean, to wake up is to exactly what we speak here, because this is our nature. And you have to wake up to your nature and to your inert being and meanings, and not what they are trying to do to you. Yeah. You have to use this as a step, maybe, to go up and to go out of this level of consciousness that they want to keep you in order to take it to the next step. And I want to ask you, what, in your opinion, in your view, what, or practically, maybe not yet, maybe just put some, you know, copper antennas in the ground for now, it's okay, and watch some videos, I don't know, but practically, what can we do in order, A, to bring more people to this wavelength, and B, take ourselves to the next step or to the next wavelength, you know, raising the frequency. You know, my slogan is raising the frequency. How we can raise our frequency even more?
I would say, you know, going out and getting connected with nature, like of all things, you know, and that's kind of what did a lot for me. Spending a lot of time in nature, you know, doing a lot of chanting, doing a lot of meditation, you know, studying nature, observing nature, getting connected, you know, just looking at things, and things would just appear in my head, you know, and I was like, okay, I kind of think I figured it out. And with a lot of sound frequency, I would do a lot of chanting where I would place my ears, my hands like this around my ears, and I would do a lot of chanting, and I would do kind of like binaural beats, kind of like how
Can you give us an example now?
So I would make, for example, like the E sound, like E, right? And I would chant at a very, very loud, it will be too loud for this podcast, but at a very loud sound, kind of like when you hear, you know, prayers in the air too as well, when they do the prayers as well. But as I would do that, I would move my hands simultaneously just like this, and it would create binaural beats. I would do it in front of my face as well, right? Different ways, because your bones resonate at frequencies, right? These are all antennas, and they're all emanating at a different sound frequency. So I would do different variations like this as well, different variations like this, you know, above my head, every different direction, just to kind of hear what I would hear. And what would happen is it would just kind of, as I would close my eyes, put me into a very deep meditative state, similar to, like you said, with the crystal sound bowls, right? Once you start experimenting with all those sound frequencies, your wavelengths of your mind start moving into different positions in which they are not normally being broadcasted as, right? A lot of these technologies are putting us in the alpha state, which is the sleep state. They're disconnecting those wavelengths from connecting. So as we could get more into nature, get more into sound frequency, different types of vibrations, all of these things, our minds will naturally just wake up. And as we take care of our body too, right? Like really, like as you talked about Veda Austin and getting into water, you know, healing the body, eating organic, right? Cleansing the body, doing a lot of fasting, you know, making sure that the body's at its highest standard, right? The brain will be at the most optimized standard too. So then that can allow us to then connect to higher amounts of information. The other thing person can do too is go see these sacred buildings and these sacred places, right? Just go start going and looking at old buildings and old world buildings and these things, and start just walking around. You know, you can make sounds. I've made sounds in old world buildings. I mean, it's remarkable, the acoustics and things like that and the wavelengths that are presented during those times. But when you start going around and you even put your hand on certain stones, right? If you go out into nature and you find a very large stone that looks like it's out of place, because that's usually how it goes, sit on that stone, place your hands on there, put your feet on there, take your shoes off, and sit on that stone and close your eyes. And just let your mind do what it needs to do, and you will connect, and the earth will provide information. Similar to the old trees, a lot of people used to hug trees, you know, back in the day. There is an energy exchange and an information exchange. And when you get into all of this stuff we've been talking about, you know, since the beginning of this, a lot of the biggest trees in the world have all been chopped down because a lot of them possess a lot of information from Mother Earth. You know, you think of those roots going real deep. Think of how much they've been exposed to, how much they've seen, people, whatever, societies, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these things, that's in the trees. So as we get more connected and disconnected from, you know, something trying to recommend us things all the time, right? Because then it's taking away our ability to think about things. Then we start to connect more into, you know, things that we didn't know. And then also just going back into older books and looking at different perspectives. It doesn't have to be 100%, but it, like you said, it will show you something else. And the whole reason I talk about that is because in that book, the 1902 book, they talk about radium and how radium is an unlimited energy that lasts forever. Oh. Well, they don't want to publish that now, you know, especially in 2023, because how are they going to put a meter on that, right? So, you know, these are things that have been kind of removed. And sometimes in a certain book or a whatever thing that you purchase as well, you might just get a piece of information. And that's why, like, this whole thing we've been talking about is just piecing together parts of information and connecting them all kind of like a web, you know, of different information. And then you can start to piece that information together to uplift your mind, right? Of and then be able to teach somebody else. Because that's the other thing. If you know something, and that's why, like, at the a lot of my videos I've been saying, if you know something, put it out there. You don't know if it will resonate and bring information to somebody else. People know a lot of stuff, I've realized. There are a ton of very smart people, but sometimes the information doesn't get presented. And that's what I notice with these books is if the book is missing, for example, like Philip Callahan and all his work, right? He had a lot of great books on Celtic round towers, how they used to communicate between Celtic round towers, how they used to go up to the top of the Celtic round towers and have and levitate on a full moon, right? He talked about all these different things, but he didn't get a chance to ever present that information in front of anybody because the politicians at that time never wanted to hear him. You know, so all of his work, unless someone's just speaking about it, can be lost. So, you know, the whole point of this, I guess my whole thing is getting connected to nature, getting back into the books, getting connected back into what we used to do, and everything will come from there.
I find it useful to add to what you said, and I think people can relate to it. Let's try and look at ourselves 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, 15 years ago. Things in our mind were much more solid and were much more right or wrong, all right? I mean, this is true, this isn't. I mean, if, let's say 15 years ago, someone would come to you and tell you, you know, the earth is flat, and you're like, all right, yes, all right, mate. And now, I mean, maybe most people still are still there, but now you're like, really, how come? Look, water, they don't bend, etc. And people may start to think about it. And why I'm saying this? Because I said things were more solid, and now it seems they're more fluid. Okay, there's more fluidity to truth. Although truth is objective and is one, still our relation to the truth is more fluid. We can throw some bad ideas that we used to live with because we have kind of woken up to the hidden levels of reality. And we can bring in, because we throw out some things, we have space, we have place in us to bring new things in to see how they fit with the new point of view that we have. And I just want to tell people that it's a good exercise to do, to try and bring new stuff in, see how they fit with your view of the world, with the view of government, of a state, of land, or your country, and your relations to nature, whatever. It's up to you. But it's a good exercise. Take it just as an exercise. Throw something out and bring something new in. See if it fits, and if so, how it fits. Do you like how it fits? Does it take you to another way of thinking? Because then something really unique, really special can happen in your brain, and it's like a gate opening. It's like something opens, and then things would never go back to how you were before. And this is, I think it's really blessed, this process. Because when you trust in God and you trust that you're here for a reason and you have meaning and you are a soul that comes here and use a body and not the opposite, you have nothing to lose here. So why not to try and do this exercise and do or start think about life in new ways? Because this is what you are doing. This is what I am doing. This is what many of us are doing, especially in the last 3 years, but probably also before. So just an advice or an exercise for people to do. And thanks for all, obviously, all the advices and the things you just mentioned to go out in nature. I think it's highly important. Unless you have something else to go into, maybe just before we wrap it up, how you see the future? I mean, the coming future, not the far future, but the near future. Do you have and I'm not saying, I'm not asking you as a prophet or something, but just someone like me who is living here with his feet on the ground and is, and your brain is open, your mind is open, and your heart is open. What you see is coming in the near future with us, with humanity in general?
I mean, I can see a lot of things changing and shifting, especially in how people build their houses, how people are using different materials, right? I have a lot of people messaging me, what can I build their houses out of natural materials? They don't want to use, like you said, the Rockefeller concrete and all the other stuff, and the DuPont plastic and all the other, nonsense in which we've been sold. People are kind of over that. And I kind of see a shift happening with that. I see people growing their food more. I see them getting connected with nature. I see them having more animals. I see them getting more connected with all their birds and bees and insects and all of those things. I mean, I get messages all the time of people's gardens. They got more birds, bees, and animals than they've ever seen before. I see a total shift occurring in which people, it's what people want. We've been so disconnected and so lied to on so many different angles. And what's going to happen is people are going to start creating technologies, right? People are going to start implementing things from the past and bringing them forward. That's kind of what electroculture is starting, right? And then we're going to see a lot of shifts that are going to occur, even with all the stuff they're trying to do with the skies and things like that. Counters and all those things are going to keep coming out. And as people are now testing things, which this is my favorite part of it all, is you don't have just one person doing it anymore, right? You don't have just one person making a video and talking about something. You have thousands now. Mm. You have millions of people doing things now. Stuff that just was not even being spoke about. Like you said, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, it was this and this, and that was it. And that's all you saw. And we just were in this timeline to keep going like that. But 2020 really opened the eyes of many things. And I see that shift just continuing. Right. And the system now that we're kind of in is kind of very confused what to do. Right. Because there's such a shift occurring so quickly that even with all the stuff that happened in 2020, they probably thought, oh, they're just going to forget about it. No, no, no. Nobody's forgotten about any of those things. And also, if anything, now it's taking everybody to a step further where they want to be more connected, more out into nature, more out, with homesteading and all of these things and getting really connected into their natural intuitions, right? Because that's what we're connecting in, deep into our soul history, soul information, soul knowledge, all of those things. That's what we're connecting into. Mm-hmm. And I see that shift constantly increasing, and it's only going to increase more. And we also got a lot of super moons, and we got a lot of solar flares this year. So it's only going to be shifting up more, right? Because those amplify all the energy. Yeah. So I see, in my eyes, I'm very positive to what I'm seeing because of the amount of messages in which I get. And I try to spread that positivity with others so that we can continue this shift. Because our whole system, everything related to the media and everything, is to bring our frequency down to this low, so that we're not focusing on how to advance ourselves. Like you said, it's all artificial stuff, right? They want us connected to artificial things, which we have no connection to. So then what are we doing, right? Like there's nothing that exists and nothing that we own and nothing that we whatever. So what are we doing? Like just sitting on our phones? Is that what we do for the time for 8 days? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So I see this shift over here where people are going to move into how can I figure out ways to elevate myself, elevate my knowledge, and then teach others. I see so many families who are teaching their kids about things like even with electroculture and all of these topics in which kids were never exposed to, right? They just were taught the same thing over and over again. Think of that, what that's going to do for generations also to come in the near future. There's a kid on YouTube. I think he's like 9 or 10 years old, and he's got a YouTube page, and he's showing his squashes with electroculture, and he's showing how fast they're growing. He understands it all. He's 9 years old. That's amazing. So it's only going to inspire other kids who are going to be like, hey, he's 9, I'm 9. You know, I'll do that too. But just think of that shift. You know, that's such a shift in such a short amount of time. And with everything that's coming about related to, like I was saying, the mercury, the radium, all these different technologies, the cathodes and different types of energy capacitors and all these things, it's only going to open the minds more. And that's the part in which when all the people are doing it, or even let's make it really simple. They tell us there's 8 billion people on the planet. Well, let's say just 10% of those people do this, right? That's 1 billion people. That's 800 million, but
800, yeah.
Well, just plus or minus, let's say just 1 billion people did all of this and started really opening their minds. Holy cow. You know, think of how different that could change overnight. And that's what I see is occurring, where it's happening faster and faster. And so at this pace, there's only a lot of positivity in my eyes coming forward. And also because people are kind of over a lot of the things where they're not complying or doing what they are told to do anymore. And once people stop doing that too, now they're going to go start learning and doing other things, which is going to then, they're going to teach their other generations too. So I see shifts in so many things, and I just go with what I get on the daily, you know, and what I see. And it's just remarkable to see the change in just such a short amount of time. And like I said, from just putting out some videos, you know, like how fast things can just go. And that's, I think, the true potential of what we should use this technology for, is connecting to every person across the world so we can spread information and help assist one another instead of, you know, attacking one another and all this just whatever, because that's not going to raise the vibration of Mother Earth. You know, it's only going to keep us at this low level frequency in which we can be controlled and manipulated. So I'm all about this high-level frequency.
How many people do you reckon were exposed to magneto-electro-culture videos over the last, let's say, year or two, whatever?
Well, so if we go on TikTok and you type in Cultivate Elevate, the hashtag, it's at 2.4 million views. So that's quite a lot. If you go through some of the videos that we did on Instagram, we had quite a few that hit a couple million and then just kind of went off from there. If we go by even just our website and how many people we've had come to our website and then share the information and whatever, you know, I would say you're probably close to maybe 10 or 15 million people in just the last 1 year. And I say that because of the messages and the comments and the responses and all of the things in which I've seen, and the way that the information just spreads. And now, even with a lot of the stuff that I've been doing, as you know, the translations are now going in all these different languages. So now we have information going out to every country all over the world. Yeah. And that's where I see it just growing even more. Like, for example, in a lot in South America, people are sharing all the videos and they're translating every single thing and putting it into theirs and then building their own website and then testing electroculture and all these things. You know, so I see it going all over. And yeah, in a short amount of time, about 1 year, I would say probably about 15 million or more people.
You were saying 1 billion or maybe 800 million, like 10% would be exposed, then such and such will happen. Hey, I'm like, give me 100 million and we're good, you know? Like, yeah. We don't need even that larger number. If now, let's say we are on 15 million, 6 times that, I think we're in a different place altogether, because then the faster the information spread, the faster the information spread. And that's what we need, like this sharing the information and bypass the algorithms, that the artificial algorithms that kind of try and keep us in place. And, you know, yeah. Matt Roski, anything else you want to add, or we can just wrap it up? It's all right. I mean,
I think I hit on it all, but I think, yeah, we're definitely, you know, like I said, just keep an open mind. You know, that's the whole point of this whole talk, is just think of things from every different angle and don't, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, whatever you've been told. Just look into things and look from different angles because, you know, I at one time believed a lot of things, you know, and all these things that I thought were correct at that time, a lot of those things I don't believe at all. And I've learned aren't correct. You know, after time, I was like, that's totally not what it's supposed to be. You know, that doesn't make any sense. You know, all these things. So, you know, they spend a lot of money, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars pushing certain narratives. So, you know, if you always follow back to the money, you can kind of see why it's being pushed, you know, and that's an important thing. But at the end of the day, just keep an open mind and get out into nature and connect back with the ancient information.
And by the way, this is true science. I mean, what you just said, keep all possibilities, options open, go to nature, observe, you know, learn from nature. This is real science and not what they teach us. And I think it's really important because a lot of people, they still look for the scientific facts or research, and they still maybe didn't get the idea how it works, the science thing. And we know that the science, the public science is bought, is paid for by the cartels. And true science is to keep all options open and to be able to learn new things and to upgrade your understanding. And I think this is what you just said. So for all of you out there who really like science, this is real science. Yeah. Matt Roski, thank you very much, mate. Thanks for all the work you're doing, and thanks for this talk, and hopefully we'll speak very soon. All the best. God bless. Bye-bye.